Yes, you're listening to Insight Wednesday of Law and Gospel on this November the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. I'm all by myself today. It has been some time since we actually looked at what I have used for years here on KFUO to help you understand the distinctions between law and gospel. And that, of course, is a series of lectures written by President C.F.W. Walther in the 1850s. It was a year and a half of lectures. There's 25 points that he makes. Four of them help you understand what law and gospel is not and what it is. But then he has 21 points where he talks about how pastors misinterpret and confuse the distinctions between law and gospel. Now, where did C.F.W. Walther get that? I'm a super plagiarist, borrowing from men like C.F.W. Walther, but he, of course, primarily got this information from the Bible itself. And, of course, from Martin Luther and some of his wonderful commentaries on Galatians, Romans, etc. C.F.W. Walther was not the first to make these distinctions. There actually is a Reformed pastor who lived shortly after Martin Luther's death, Petrus Dathenus. And he has a series of letters that he wrote to a parishioner who was very concerned that she wasn't living up to God's law. And surprisingly, many of the distinctions that C.F.W. Walther makes, Dathenus also makes. If you want to get some written material on law and gospel, you first of all have a number of translations of his lectures, The Proper Distinction Between Law and Gospel. And just recently, Concordia Publishing House put out a reader's edition to Law and Gospel. It is tremendous because it has a lot of notes in it that, though they're not part of the lectures, helps you to understand the lectures. Reader's edition to C.F.W. Walther's Proper Distinctions Between Law and Gospel. But if you want a summary, and it's a book that's not that expensive, it is a summary or a condensement of Law and Gospel, and it's entitled God's No and God's Yes. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because what is the no? What is the yes? The no is the law. We're going to maybe not look at this tomorrow, but one of the first ways in which pastors mess up law and gospel is that they attempt to give the impression that obedience to the law is what gets you to heaven. And God says, no. Instead, the gospel is the good news of what Christ has done in order to get you to heaven. And that's a big yes. So rather than go into some of the 21 ways in which C.F.W. Walther points out how pastors confuse law and gospel, for Insight Wednesday, I thought we would summarize what law and gospel is not and what it is. And tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz, he's got a couple of principles that C.F.W. Walther wrote that he wants to expand on. So one of the differences that is not true between law and gospel is that the gospel is divine and the law is a human doctrine. No, that's not true at all. Because even though many unbelievers can understand the law, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, etc., the fact of the matter is that it's contained in the scriptures, and the word of God is therefore what gives us his law. In fact, one of the uses of the law is once you become a Christian, you still don't know what God's will is for you. And that's called the third use of the law, where God informs you as to what his will is. It does not motivate you to obey the law. It's just information. The gospel alone is the motivator. The other thing that is not a proper difference, some people say only the gospel is necessary, not the law. Well, you know, that's like going to a doctor and saying only the treatment is necessary, not the diagnosis. You see, you're not going to understand the treatment the doctor is going to give you unless he tells you what's wrong with you. I mean, who goes into a doctor's office and say, I'm just not feeling very good, and he gives you a jug of liquid and says, well, drink that in 2 days. You're going to walk out of the office? No, you're going to say, doctor, what's wrong with me? In the same way, the gospel really can hardly be understood because it's the forgiveness of sins if you don't think you're a sinner. It would be like me going to a person who is dressed for warm weather, and I tell him, boy, you need a mask on your face. He's not going to accept that unless they're in an area where there's some carbon dioxide or something like that. The fact of the matter is he doesn't need a mask on his face. He's already well-dressed. So unless you tell him, well, here's the reason, and there are a number of reasons why somebody could wear a breathing mask on their face to protect them. But if he doesn't know that, he's not going to accept that. Another wrong distinction, and a lot of people believe this, the law is the teaching of the Old Testament and the gospel is the teaching of the New Testament. There's no doubt there is law in the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments. Don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Many, many, many laws. But there's also gospel in the Old Testament books. Genesis 3:15 is a promise that God gives to the serpent, the devil, that through the seed of Eve will come a Messiah, a Savior of the world. To Abraham, he's told that his son Isaac will continue that line. So throughout the whole Old Testament, there's quite a bit of gospel, which is simply promises of God as to how he's going to save his people. And then to look at the New Testament and say, that's just gospel, not law, read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has a multitude of events that you would have to follow in order to become perfect, like your Father in heaven is perfect. Those are all law. And the point is, nobody can follow them. Nobody can fulfill them. And so therefore, by preaching in that way, ears are opened up to hearing the gospel. Namely, what we cannot do, God is able to do. Now, another wrong distinction between law and gospel is in regards to their final purpose. Some people will say, well, the law is there to condemn human beings. The gospel is for man's salvation. But in reality, both have as their final purpose man's salvation. It's just that the law can never give us that salvation, our obedience to it. But it can prepare us for the gospel. That's like going to a doctor and saying, well, the diagnosis is to really criticize you. No, it's not. it's to prepare you for what treatment the doctor thinks is necessary. Now, some people therefore say, okay, if the law can't save and the gospel can, then is that not a contradiction in the Bible? If both are God's word. Well, first of all, there are no contradictions in Scripture. Not one at all. In fact, there's lots of books to show what people think are apparent contradictions are not. And so they are separate from each other, but both are in perfect harmony with one another, just as a diagnosis would be in harmony with the treatment. Like if you come in with a broken arm, the doctor isn't going to say, well, jump up and down 8 times a day and your arm will be okay. That's not a treatment that's in harmony with a diagnosis. No, he's going to say, well, we need to set that arm. Might need some surgery. I know that happened to me. I had 2 surgeries. I was driving a motorcycle, and I fell on the pavement, and I had to have 2 surgeries for the broken arm. And still, I still have a pin in my arm, and I have a picture of it. It's an X-ray with it in there. They told me they could take it out. And I said, is that going to take surgery? They said, yes. I said, leave it in. Then, the other item that is not true is that only the gospel is meant for Christians. Well, that would be true if the Christian, when he becomes a Christian, stops from sinning. Because then you would not need any accusation. There will be no law in the eternal heaven in order for you to be able to stay in heaven, because you will spontaneously be obeying God's will without any effort on your part at all. It's going to be really easy. So the law as a condemnation will not exist in heaven. So those are a number of, shall we say, differences that people think are between law and gospel, and they really are not. Well, what are some of the similarities? And how are those similarities still different? The one is that they are revealed to man differently by God. You see, when man was created, God had the law written in the heart. And so the law may be preached to the most ungodly person, and his conscience will tell him, you know, that is true. The problem is when the gospel is preached to him, his conscience does not tell him the same. It rather makes him angry. Why? Because he doesn't think he really needs the comfort of the gospel. He's not that bad a person. If you ask an unbeliever, do you think you're the greatest sinner in the world? His first answer will be, well, no, of course not. I have a neighbor that's a lot worse than me. And so it's very important to understand that when the law is revealed, that's different than when the gospel is preached. For to receive the law, you don't really need any special characteristic of humanity. You'll understand, yeah, it is wrong to steal. It is wrong to murder. But when the gospel is proclaimed, it does not become self-evident to you that God freely forgives your sins. In other words, it takes faith given by the Holy Spirit. A second point of difference between the law and the gospel is the contents. And you can often tell the difference whether what you're reading in the Bible is law or gospel. If you are being told what to do in order to be saved, that's definitely law. Like the Sermon on the Mount. And nobody can obey that. But if you're being told what God has done in the person and work of Jesus Christ and what he's continuing to do, that is gospel. In other words, if you want to talk about works, the law is talking about your own works. The gospel is talking about the works of God. The law says nothing about forgiveness, about grace. It only brings forth commands and demands, whereas the gospel brings forth free offerings containing nothing but grace and truth. So that makes a difference as to what the promises of each are. Now, the law promises also what the gospel promises. That's eternal life and full salvation. But the promises of the law, and here's an important distinction, are conditional. If you do this, then this will happen to you. In contrast to the gospel, where its promises are unconditional. Well, what condition did the people at the cross of Jesus meet for Jesus to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? The very fact that they didn't know what they were doing means they weren't meeting any condition at all. That's why in Christianity alone, God saves unconditionally. He takes the worst of sinners. Just remember the Damascus Road experience of the Apostle Paul. What had Paul done to earn the apostleship to the Gentiles? Well, not much, except for murdering Christians. And if God does that for the Apostle Paul, there's no one that also would not receive that gift through faith. So while the law demands perfection as a condition of salvation, the gospel demands nothing. It says, just take what I give. It's not a condition. It's a kind invitation. So not only are promises either conditional or unconditional, but another difference between law and gospel speaks about their threats. Well, guess what? There are no threats in the gospel. Only words of consolation. It's kind of like a parent finds out that their child was arrested for going over the speed limit or something, and they go and visit them in the prison, in jail, and they don't say, "Boy, if you don't do this or do that, I'm not going to love you." No, the parent often will give unconditional love to the child to help them through this difficult period in their life. So there are no threats to the gospel, whereas the law is nothing but threats. Do this and live. Don't do it, you die. Another point of difference between law and gospel concerns the effects of these two doctrines. When you preach the law, it tells us what to do, but it does not give you any ability to comply with its commands. In fact, the more you hear the law, the more you become more unwilling to keep the law. Just look at our society. There are a lot of programs right now, and I'm watching a series of programs of married couples, and one of them cheats on the other, and it often leads to murder. Because if the cheating is made known, he's going to lose his job, all kinds of bad things. So they plan to murder the spouse so that he could live with his girlfriend. See, there's nothing there in the law. The more you hear about what you're not to do, the more unwilling you become to obey it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm my own person. So that's the first thing. The law actually causes you to become more unwilling to keep the law because of your pride. Then the law can uncover your sins, but it gives you no help as to how to get out of them. And therefore, if people take the law seriously, it causes them to fall into despair. Now, in the third place, or another way, is the way to get around that is what the Pharisees did. They minimized the extent of the law. They said, I haven't murdered anybody, until Jesus spoke about, even if you have a bad thought about someone, even if you say a bad word about them, that's also breaking the commandment against murder. So, if you take the law seriously, you'll fall into despair, knowing that you are unable to fulfill the law perfectly, which may lead to contrition. What is contrition? It's when you recognize the terrors of death, of hell, of the wrath and anger of God. But again, there is no effect from the law of comfort. If anybody gets comfort from the law, that's a real problem. Recently in a Bible study, I asked everyone to think of their favorite verse in the Bible. You know, I love doing questions. And after everybody had it, I said, I don't need to hear it. I want you to put your hand up if you have a verse that is not a promise from God. And nobody's hand went up. After a while, a gentleman did give his verse, but we found even there promises of God. See, that's what comforts a Christian. I mean, when's the last time you said or heard somebody say, oh, my favorite verse, thou shalt not kill. I just love that verse. I think of it all the time. I've got pictures of it all around the house. No. Instead, they'll have, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, or call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you. The effects of the gospel are entirely different than the effects of the law. Because when the gospel is heard, that's how people come to faith. The Holy Spirit is always sent through the word of God being announced. Remember Romans 10, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. And then what the gospel does, it removes your terror, your fear, your anguish, and fills you with peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that tomorrow with Wes. This whole idea of joy. What really is interesting is the gospel does not require anything that man must provide. Not a good heart, not a good disposition, no improvement of his condition, no godliness, no love either of God or man. It issues no orders because the purpose of the gospel is to change man by planting love into his heart and making him capable of all good works. The gospel demands nothing. It gives all. The final point of difference between law and gospel relates to whom are you speaking the law? The law is to be preached to secure sinners. People who say, yeah, I have no problem with my life. I'm secure in my sin. The gospel is to be preached to alarmed sinners. So as long as a person is at ease in his sins, or he refuses to acknowledge a sin, he needs to hear the law. But once the law is properly preached and he becomes frightened at his condition, then he is hear the gospel. For then he can no longer be categorized as a secure sinner. I hope that those have been helpful to you today. Ways in which law and gospel are thought to be and are not, and proper distinctions between law and gospel. As I said, tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz, we're going to start looking at some of the 21 ways in which pastors preaching and teaching confuse law and gospel. And as I said, a good summary is God's no and God's yes. You can get that from Concordia Publishing House. I'm Tom Baker. Thanks for listening. Look forward to tomorrow.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.